talk some Seattle sports. Our guest is a returning champ, does an awesome job covering the Mariners, Seahawks, and more. ESPN 710 in Seattle. Follow on Twitter. The handle is at the B Gustafson, online at 710sports.com. Brandon, always appreciate the time. How's life treating you these days?
Oh, doing great. Anytime that we can get basically a week, 2 weeks straight of just pure sunshine up here in the Pacific Northwest, can't beat that. It's been great.
No, it really is beautiful. So, kind of a general question, the pulse of your city. It was announced earlier this week that the new hockey franchise, the Kraken, they picked second in the draft. So I'm curious, how would you describe the buzz, either personally or among the sports fans you contact? How excited are folks about having NHL hockey in Seattle?
Yeah, people are really jacked, man. It's really fun, and what's really cool is we're just about month and a half away now from not only the player draft, where they're going to be taking these guys, as you said, they have the second overall pick, but they're going to be doing their expansion draft as well. They're going to be picking guys from other teams. We're going to finally be able to kind of get to know the faces of this franchise, at least early on, and that's super exciting. Sounds like in the next few weeks here, we're going to find out who the first head coach of the Kraken is. So, yeah, the people are really, really excited. People are really amped up, and with more and more stadiums and whatnot opening up seating and things like that, it looks like we should have a full house at Climate Pledge Arena for the Kraken's first game.
You know, I grew up outside of New York City. I lived in Philly for 2 years, so I've been to a million NHL games. I'm curious, have you seen NHL live? Because while it's fun, you know, modern on high-def TV, on big screens, there's really nothing like seeing NHL live at an arena.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've not had the chance to catch an NHL game in person. Obviously, that's going to be changing here soon in a few months. Definitely going to be going to as many as I can, both in a professional capacity and just as a, you know, a sports fan, somebody from Seattle. It's going to be really fun. We have semi-pro hockey up here, up where I'm at in Snohomish County. We have the Everett Silvertips and the WHL. So grew up going to some games and whatnot, but, you know, that's checking out 16, 17, 18-year-old kids who are top hockey prospects versus the best in the world. So it's definitely going to be a little different.
Oh, man, you're going to be hooked. It's like sports crack, I'm telling you. It's awesome. Talking with Brandon Gustafson, ESPN 710 in Seattle. One Seahawk question. You look at what's happening with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, the drama. I heard Pete Carroll interviewed last week, and he said when you look back on it, that rift with Russell Wilson was blown out of proportion. Would it be accurate to say that that issue actually seems like a non-issue? And, Brandon, it also seems like it was about 4 months ago.
Yeah, it really does. It seems like it was so long ago, just when you think about everything that's happened just in the NFL landscape. Like you mentioned, the whole Aaron Rodgers drama is pretty crazy. Up here, obviously, we've had the Mariners in full swing, and with the Seahawks, we had the NFL draft. So it does seem like it's been a really long time since that was kind of at the forefront of the sports world. But it seems to be water under the bridge for right now. I know that the Seahawks are undergoing, you know, they're doing their OTAs and whatnot, and that's not mandatory, and Russell Wilson and a lot of the other veterans, they're not there. Doesn't sound like that's an issue. I know some people were a little concerned, especially because not just the friction that was there earlier in the offseason with Russell Wilson and the coaching staff and the front office and whatnot, but they have a new offensive coordinator in Shane Waldron. They're implementing a new offensive scheme, so I know some people kind of look at Russell Wilson and all these leaders and veterans not being at the facility right now, but doesn't sound like Pete Carroll's too concerned about that. Personally, I'm not too concerned about that. I think that overall it looks like this is going to be a pretty good team once again. They're coming off a 12-win season and an NFC West title, so it'll be fun to see how Russell does in this new offense.
Let's get to the Mariners. Maybe a personal angle. Date yourself. So when Brandon started rooting for the Mariners, it was when and who were like, you know, what was what do you remember about the lineup and the roster back then?
Yeah, so it's funny, and some of my coworkers don't like when I bring this up, but I was born in 1995, which was, of course, right, like the big year up here in Seattle when the Mariners made their run. I had the VHS tape of the My Oh My series that they put out, and I watched that thing until the tape broke and the VHS didn't work anymore. But the first year I really remember following along, funny enough, was 2001, the year they won 116 games. Ichiro was my guy. We shared season tickets in right field about four rows back. So I have a lot of pictures of myself and my parents and siblings and stuff kind of watching Ichiro play out in the outfield, which was really cool. And then as I started playing baseball more and more, I became a pitcher, and that's what I did throughout my whole life up until my 2 years of college ball. So it was Ichiro and Felix Hernandez were my two guys.
Not so bad. And when you mentioned 95 and 2001, of course, there's the Yankee connection in there. One delightful for Seattle, one miserable for New York, and then it flipped it on its rear end in 2001. I guess we should get to the medical front. The reigning American League Rookie of the Year, Kyle Lewis, who played Monday, had to go on the shelf. What did Jerry DePoto say about his injury? Maybe how long he should be down? And who's going to be playing center?
Yeah, so Kyle Lewis, in the eighth inning of Monday's game, he was going back for a fly ball right center field, and he leaped up for it. He didn't make the grab, and he came down, and it just kind of looked like a little bit of an awkward landing, and they took him out of the game right after that in that next half inning. And they said it was preliminary, just, you know, being cautious, especially with a guy who's had his series of knee injuries. And unfortunately, over the next few days, we'd learned that he had a partially torn meniscus in his right knee, and that's a knee that he had a torn ACL, MCL, LCL. He had another cleanup surgery on that. He had a knee bruise during spring training of this year, trying to catch a fly ball out in the outfield, and that cost him the first 2.5-3 weeks of this year. Jerry DePoto was on our station this morning and basically said it's not like anything super long term. He does expect Kyle Lewis to be back in the lineup at some point this year, but if for people that are holding out hope that it's going to be a 10-day stint on the IL, the minimum, or anything like that, or just a few weeks, doesn't look like that's going to be the case. One of the things that is unfortunately not too uncommon with sports injuries is when you hear a guy go in for a second opinion on an injury, that's not a good thing. Right. That's rarely a good thing. They rarely get good news that second time around. So him wanting to go out and get that second opinion on his knee is pretty telling of where he's at. So whether or not he's going to go under the knife right here in the next few days or week or so, that's not abundantly clear yet. I'm sure that we're going to find out more about that here in the next few days to a week. But in terms of Kyle Lewis playing in the outfield, that's not going to happen anytime soon. So Jared Kelnick, the rookie, he's going to be sliding over to center field and making his regular starts there. He's been playing left field. And then Taylor Trammell, who's also a rookie, he started the year with the big league club before his demotion after a rough start, but he's back with the big league club after playing well down in Tacoma in AAA, and so he'll be in left field. And then Mitch Haniger has been their MVP this year. He'll be in right field. So still a pretty solid outfield trio, but the young guys definitely have a lot to prove.
Talking with Brandon Gustafson, ESPN 710 Seattle. Few final thoughts. You mentioned the excitement about the call-up of Jared Kelnick. You know, we played the home run, his first big league hit. He debuted about 3 weeks ago. That homer was off of Aaron Civale of Cleveland. But now, man, he's kind of hit a little miserable stretch, 0 for 26. I know Scott Service does a weekly show on your station. What's he been saying about the struggles of his young gun?
Yeah, so with Kelnick, it's interesting. I wrote about it last week. One reason why I wasn't concerned about it, and even then I'm still really not too concerned about it just because of how talented that Jared Kelnick is, but he's been seeing a lot of pitches and he hasn't been striking out a whole lot. That did change this last series against Oakland. I think he struck out 11 times in 19 at-bats or something like that, so they gave him the day off. But Service, I know, is extremely confident in him and has every reason to be just because of how skilled and how mature that Kelnick is for his age and how smart he is and how hard he works. And Jerry DePoto, he kind of echoed those sentiments this morning. And those two are not super concerned about it. One thing that Service did do on Tuesday was drop Kelnick down in the order. He had been hitting leadoff, so he was hitting sixth in that game, and he got the night off yesterday, which is probably a good thing. Sean Manaea is a really tough lefty for the A's, and he went the distance through a shutout yesterday, so that was probably the right call. And then Kelnick's back in the lineup tonight, playing center field, hitting fifth. So I think that part of the goal there is to take a little bit of pressure off of him, putting him right behind some of those better bats in the lineup, like Mitch Haniger, Kyle Seager, Ty France. maybe Kelnick's going to be able to be up there in situations with guys on base that'll be able to protect him a little more. Pitchers will be pitching out of the stretch more, which they're typically not as comfortable with. He might get some better pitches to hit, but just something I've noticed is he's being pitched to like a vet. I mean, this is a guy who's going up there and he's getting first pitch changeups or breaking balls just right on the edge, right on the black, perfect elevated fastballs and things like that. So they kind of got the book on him already, so it's going to be up to him to make those adjustments. But he's just so talented. He's got such quick hands, strong wrists, a lot of power, a lot of speed. So he'll right the ship eventually, and I think that we'll see him get on a stretch here pretty soon.
Great points. As far as the pitching, you say Kikuchi. I always get his name wrong. Putz. So, you know, his first year he struggled a little bit. He was better last season. This year his hits per nine innings is crazy good, about a strikeout an inning. Might want to keep the ball in the yard more consistency. So, Brandon, how noticeable has his improvement been this, which is really his first full season in the major leagues?
Yeah, he's been throwing the ball really well, and I thought that he threw the ball better last year than his more traditional numbers might indicate in terms of things like whip and ERA, wins and losses and things like that, but he did a good job avoiding hard contact. He's missing a lot of bats. He's been carrying that over this year. The velocity is still really good. He's throwing his cutter and his slider more, and he's implementing more of a changeup too, which we just really haven't seen from him in those first two seasons. And he's going deep into ball games. He has 10 starts this year. He's thrown over 60 innings, so he's averaging over six innings a start, and that's been so important for this team because with the six-man rotation that they're running out there, because of all the injuries they've had to that rotation, one of those starts over the last month or so has been a bullpen start. So they've been running out there four, five, six, seven relievers in one game and just wiping out their bullpen in order to keep these guys on a regular turn. So Kikuchi being able to go out there and eat up innings for Scott Service has just been so critical. And yeah, you mentioned the home runs. I think he's given up 10 or 11 in his 10 starts. His walk rate's probably still a little higher than you'd like, but for the most part, he's avoiding hits. I think the opponents are hitting less than 200 off of him. So if he just kind of commands the strike zone a little better, a little more quality of strikes and whatnot, he can really take off. He's got electric stuff, and when he's on his game, it is really fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed watching him take his turn. Lastly, when we talked in the preseason about Marco Gonzalez, we're talking about him. He's the ace. And then in late April, he goes down with a forearm problem. Just came back Tuesday. So what's the word about his return and maybe providing some stability at the top of the rotation?
Yeah, that's going to be really big. One of the things that Marco is he's an ultimate competitor. He's a bulldog. He's kind of an old school type in that sense where he wants the ball every fifth, sixth, or sixth day in this case, yeah. with how they run things out. But he wants the ball every turn. He wants to go deep. He's not afraid to go 100 plus pitches. The thing with him right now is because of the forearm strain and him coming back from the injury, they do want to be cautious with him. And I think that now they have even more reason to be cautious with him as Justin Dunn, who's made every turn and the rotation this year to date. He just went on the IL yesterday with a shoulder injury, so he's going to be missing one, maybe two starts. So they need to do a good job of taking care of Marco, because when he's on his game, he is one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball. He eats up a lot of innings, and with a young starting rotation like they have and with their bullpen, they need somebody out there who can go out there and go six-plus innings, and you just kind of know what you're going to get with him when he's on his game. So having that stability will be really nice. He's also a leader on that staff and just the team in general. So I think just having his presence and knowing that he's going to be going out there every sixth day, just for the team and the rotation, the bullpen in general, that's going to be really nice.
Folks, he's Brandon Gustafson of ESPN 710 in Seattle, online 710sports.com, on Twitter at TheBGustafson. As always, BG, tremendous information and insight. Thanks so much for joining us, and look forward to catching up real soon as the season moves along.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me.
All right, take it easy.